to have a dependency on the government. I'm going to trust God to be my source.
I'll tell you, though, once it starts, Darren, it's so hard.
It's so hard to break that cycle, isn't it?
It is so hard,
and
yes.
And many of the politicians know that. But
oh, they do.
In verse 8, we have another part of Elisha's story. Now, there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, when there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. So it was as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. Well, I would too.
That's right.
And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled-up chamber, and let us have a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And it shall be when he comes to us that he can turn in there."
This is such a wonderful story, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament.
Well, then you read it.
This Shunammite woman had no needs. She was the wife of a prominent man. She was wealthy. She had enough money to make him a little room off their house so that when he passed by, that he could come and stay. So one day, Elisha asked Gehazi, he says, "You know, what does this woman need? Is there something that I can give to her? I'm so grateful, and I'm full of gratitude for this room and the food that she gives me." And Gehazi says, "Well, this woman has had no children, and her husband is old." And so Elisha says, "Well, call this woman." And so Gehazi brought this woman to Elisha, and he says, "At this season next year, you shall embrace a son." And she says, "No, my lord. Oh, don't lie to your maidservant. I mean, don't give me any false hope, Lord. I'm fine. I'm doing okay." But Elisha knew that she would love to have children. So the woman conceived by the word of the prophet, and she believed then. When she realized what he was offering to her here, children, she believed, and the woman conceived and bore a son at that season. And the next year, as Elisha said, as he said to her, she had a son. And one day, this wonderful son that they had was out in the field with his father, and he held his head, and he started screaming. It could have been an aneurysm or whatever, but the husband, the father, hurriedly carried him to the mother, and the Shunammite woman held his son, and he died in her lap. The son died. And she took him up to the prophet's room in her home and laid him on the bed. And she and her servant went to the prophet. She told the servant, "I want you to hurry and drive and go forward and do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." And they went to the man of God at Mount Carmel.
You know, but before they got there, the husband was inquiring, you know, why do you go? It's not a special day. It's not full moon. It's not sacrifice.
Her son was dead.
And she said, "It will be well." Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible says the kid died. One of the parts of the story here that I like is she never made a bad confession. She always said, "It is well, it is well." And she told the man running the donkey, you know, "Don't slow down." And that's where you were. And when the man of God saw her at a distance, he inquired through his servant Gehazi. And again, she said, "It is well." Now, when she got to the prophet, she fell down and held on to him. And then the prophet said, "God, you've hidden from me what's going on here with this woman."
Yes.
See, normally he would know by the word of the Lord, but God hadn't told him yet. And then the woman said to him, "I ask you for a son. Did I not say, do not deceive me?" And then he told his servant, "Take my staff and go and lay it on the boy." And, you know, of course, the boy was dead. The word keeps saying the boy was dead.
And she would not leave Elisha's side. You know, he wanted her to go to with Gehazi and lay the staff on the boy. She would not leave his side. He was the one that spoke the word, and she had her son. So he went with them. And Darren, that is such a wonderful scene there, that as he lays himself and stretches himself upon the boy, the lad sneezes 7 times and opens his eyes, and he calls Gehazi and says, "Call the Shunammite woman," and he called her and he said, "Take up your son." And then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. Praise God. That is a wonderful miracle. That is an absolutely great miracle. And she had the faith to believe that this man of God could raise up her son. That's great faith. That is absolutely great faith.
Now, you say we're just stacking up the miracles here.
We are. And we're
here. This man had really the power over death to call the spirit of the boy back into his body.
Yes.
And present him alive again to his mother.
That was miracle number 9. We haven't listed them as such, but Elisha, we hear, did 16 miracles compared to Elijah's 8, and we're going to see that happens. Now, in chapter 4, we see that there was a poisoned pot of food. Now, he went to the prophets, and there was a, they were going to eat out of this pot, and they had gathered some mushrooms, and the mushrooms were poison, or wild gourds, as they say, probably mushrooms, and they put them in the pot of stew.
I'm
now,
sure
you
it
would
mushrooms.
Say it was mushrooms, because you don't like mushrooms. I understand
right.
that. And he brought meal. There was death in the pot when they tasted it, so he brought meal, threw it into the pot, and they poured it out for the people that they ate, and there was no harm in the pot. That's a great miracle, Darren. Also, in the next few verses, there was a man who came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And he said, give them to the people that they may eat. Now, we hear of the miracles of the bread and fish being increased by Jesus, but here they fed 100 people with 20 loaves of bread. Now, that's quite a miracle in itself, because the loaves of bread were small loaves then. So
yeah, but wait a minute. So there's some similarities here, because
yes, there are.
He said to the attendant, when the attendant said, what shall I set before 100 men? And he said, give them to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. Now, I believe what he was saying to the people here, you feed them. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said that very same thing in Mark chapter 6 to the disciples. Well, you feed the people. The disciples didn't catch on at all. They were locked into the natural way of thinking.
They were.
Part of this lesson is to try to get you folks that are listening today to stop just thinking in natural terms. If you're going to get beyond your circumstances, you're going to have to reach up there and tap into the spiritual world.
Absolutely.
And that spirit world belongs to you as well as it does to me and anybody else. But if you never reach up there, you will never have those supernatural benefits and assets at work for you.
Well, miracle number 12. Nahum is a captain of the army of the king of Aram, and he's a great man with a lot of power, highly respected, but he's leprous, Darren. And in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, we find out that there's a little servant girl that had been captured from Israel, and she said, there's a mighty man of God in Israel. You need to go to him. He can pray for you, and you can be healed of your leprosy. Well, he sends a messenger, and the man of God says, he won't even meet him. He goes to Israel, to the man of God. Man of God won't even come out. He sends a messenger and says, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And this enrages Naaman, because he's a man of great power and authority. And he expects Elisha at least to go out and pray for him. Now, haven't you met people like that? They want you to give them special attention and personal attention, and they get upset if you tell them to go to the Word of God, that God has a special message for them. And people still get upset to this day.
You know what they want? They want a production.
Well, and that's
they
what
they want.
Naaman
the trumpets
wanted
to announce their arrival, and they want everybody out on the lawn, you know, falling down all and giving them all kinds of greetings. And here, they weren't into that. They were saying, you know, who are you? You're not special in my eyes. What do you want?
That's right. And then his servants came and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then if he says, wash and be clean? So Naaman did. He listened to his servants. God bless him, he listened. And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Hallelujah.
You know, I kind of know how he feels, because I've spent quite a bit of time in Kansas and Oklahoma, and you know, they don't have clear streams like we have in Colorado.
No, they don't.
Now, if I went down there and I wanted to be cleansed or baptized or something, I'd say, what in the world's wrong with the rivers in Colorado? We've got pure water running down from the snow banks. Mm. Now, why do I have to go out in that mud puddle out there? And I believe that's kind of what he was saying. We have better rivers back home. What's going on here? Why do I have to go in your river?
That's right. Well, Gehazi saw, what happened is Naaman wanted to give Elisha an offering for this great miracle, for the restoration of his body. And Elisha said, no, this is the Lord's doing. I don't care for anything. But Gehazi, his servant, now he went back to Naaman and he said, well, my master has sent me, and maybe you could just give me some clothing and some silver or whatever. And so Naaman said, sure. He gave him 2 talents of silver and 2 bags with 2 changes of clothing, and Gehazi went off with them, and he buried him. And Elisha knew. You can't put anything across the prophet.
Well, see, the prophet's spirit had gone with him and knew exactly what was up.
That's right.
And, you know, I think the young man was saying, don't you realize we have some financial needs in the ministry here?
Yeah.
And you could have at least taken an offering, and you didn't take an offering at all.